Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Chad is shot on Days of Our Lives, Hope and Wyatt kiss on The Bold and the Beautiful, Delia is mowed over on The Young and the Restless, and Anna Devane fights a doppelganger on General Hospital. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome.
What's up?
What?
I said, what's up?
Oh. Mel, welcome.
Hey, why you got to call all of my names, but you don't call none of Melody?
You threw me off when I couldn't hear
well,
what you said.
Okay, let's just say Mel, Jillian, hey, what's up? She seems so formal.
Well, that's me for
no,
you.
No, don't do
that. Let's dive into this last week, because there was a lot of good soap.
Oh, yes.
Let's kick things off with Days of Our Lives.
That's honey.
JJ.
Ooh.
Poor boy. Poor boy. He's learned the truth, and he's acted out. He's throwing stuff through windows, he's been tackled by Daniel, and now he's in jail, where his mother, Jennifer, is trying to reason with him, but he's got a pouty face on. What did you think this last week, Jillian?
Oh my God, Days was just so brilliant last week. Oh, when JJ found out that his hero, his idol, raped his Aunt Kayla, but it was just like someone told a grown kid, like, you know, a kid who still believes in Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, the fairy, the tooth fairy, you
know, Cupid.
And Cupid and all that, well, not Cupid, but all that jazz, that they didn't exist. He just had a serious meltdown, and it was just beautiful watching him unload and unleash, and for him to just dress every, well, he didn't dress anybody down, he read them. He read them like the Salem Chronicle chat, and he was like, y'all talk about me, you guys are a bunch of lies, and he just, woo. It was just great, and how he just grabbed Kayla and just apologized profusely for what happened with his dad, and she, it was just so great. That Casey Moss, that little guy is a great, well, I can't even say little guy, he is a great find to that show. I mean, he is going to tear things up for, you know, the Emmys. That guy is just fantastic, and I'm just so glad that Days brought him on.
Well, and what I love about this storyline is the fact that week after week, I'm enjoying Jennifer. Because for so long, I hated her because of that terrible pairing with Daniel. And I really enjoy watching, maybe it's the fact that I'm enjoying her in so much pain, but I'm enjoying, I'm enjoying her, like, the emotional toll that this is taking on her and how she's handling it. I mean, when she's saying how much she loves him and she's bringing him the jacket, well, because the cell is cold and all this other stuff, it is fantastic.
Bring him some of Grant's donuts, gal. It gets nasty down there. He wants some donuts so he can fight Bubba off with, girl. You know, JJ saves the Jennifer storyline because you need someone against them. You need someone to just let Daniel know, look, the sun don't rise and shine with your funky ass. And I just love him reading Daniel. I love him ripping his mother apart. I just love, love, love how this whole thing is playing out. JJ has been the saving grace of that storyline. Had it not been for JJ, I would have been like Greg Ming, Chris Weitzel, Gary Tomlin, and I don't know if there's another one, but I think it's just two of them. I would have just called two head writers. I would have called for some asses right about now because that storyline was terrible. But JJ has just breathed some life into it. He's made Jennifer feisty. He's shown her vulnerability. He's even made Daniel a little likable. I said a little bit. And having that little Jeannie Teresa thrown in there trying to mess with Daniel too. Oh, it's great. It's great. Days is giving good soap, man.
And he's also helped with me liking Abby. Because to me, Abby has always just been sort of this blah character. She's there, but I'm never really invested in any of her pairings. I get why she's there, and okay, it's nice to have a legacy character in town, but I'm actually enjoying JJ's scenes with Abby, too. So I just love how this one character, his storyline, is helping to actually make me enjoy characters that I don't normally enjoy. But speaking of Abby, the man who took her V-card got shot.
A V8 card? What?
Something like that.
Chad. Oh, my God. I need to find out who directed that episode, because the episode was magnificent. I mean, down to, you know, we nitpick. You know how we do. You know we nitpick on everything. I mean, when he got shot, even down to the blood spatter on the cake, child. I was like, down to those little details, Days has just been on fire, man. The shooting was just great. I mean, Sammy... Look, Allison Sweeney did the damn thing, boy. Sammy had me hollering, though, you know, because I thought Sammy tried to act like she was from the hood trying to confront this chick. She was all, what you want to do? Shoot me, shoot me. And EJ's like holding her back. Sammy's like, nah, let me go, let me go. Sammy don't even care. I'm like, this woman is trying to shoot you and your man. Well, really, your man. And you are just, she is mad as hell that you are roaming the streets of Salem and you are egging her on. I thought that was just... classic Sammy, and it was brilliant. EJ just getting hot with her, egging her on too, and Stefano, and he told her, he was like, I'm going to get that bitch. I'm like, girl, you shot Stefano DeMira's boy, his baby boy. It ain't like you plugged a Brady and everybody's like, mwah.
But, well, true, but if it really comes down to it, this is all Stefano's fault.
I mean, I'm not
I know, but I'm just saying that's the wonderful thing about the irony, because before the shooting took place, Stefano's going around the party and he's like trying to, like, at least how I interpreted it, he was trying to have like this emotional connection with various people, and they were all turning their cold shoulder to him. And so now when all these people are like turning their backs on him or ignoring him or whatever the case may be, he goes, or his son gets shot by the wife of the man who he sent to get Rafe, and Sammy capped his ass.
Well,
it's full circle. It's fantastic. My favorite moment of that, though, was when he and Marlena.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Their little scenes.
He all shot at me all flirtatious, and Marlena's such a classy dame. She's all, no. You know, she all mean mugging Stefano, but just shutting it down. You know, anybody else would be like, get your bats ass away from me, Stefano. She's such a classy dame. But no one's disputing this is all Stefano's fault. I just like that Stefano just got his engines revved, but Will trying to hold him back. I'm like, Stefano's three goons couldn't hold him back. What you think your little ass gonna do, Will? He gonna throw you up against the wall like a post-it. Go sit down. But I'm like, when she realized that she shot a DeMira, it was like, oh shit, my ass is grass now. It's like, I love it. The whole fallouts and everything, the aftermath, when Kristen, well, that was today, I think, when Kristen tried to make it all about her. Why didn't you call me, Sammy? Sammy was like, I won't talk to you. I'm like, only Kristen would make this all about her ass right about now. But Days has just been friggin' fantastic. Every little section is all connected to everything and leading up to everything. Like,
and everything being Kristen's departure.
Right. Like, you know, right.
Because before the party, Marlena and Nicole.
Oh, I love them teaming up.
Marlena and Nicole as a crime fighting duo are hilarious. I must have more of them. I simply must have more.
Oh my God, you sound so formal. Sit down, have a seat, have several. Oh my God, I love their partnership. When Marlena's all on the ground searching and Nicole, like the diva that she is, you would think Marlena would be the diva. Marlena's like, hello, do you think you can help me down here? She's like, all right. And they just put their heads together and they're like, something's on that flash drive. I'm like, I loved it. I really wish they would throw Sammy in the mix, because you know, can nobody scheme better than Samantha Jean. I'm like, child, please. With the three of them together, Kristen's ass would be grass. But when I say everything is connected, I mean, everything is taking place at the hospital. Like, for example, when everything's all connected, Chad shooting and Cameron finding out he's faking his illness. Boom, that's one bombshell. Then you have Kristen's flash drive is at the hospital, and Daniel's working on Chad, and Eric is there, and they're all trying to find out what's on this
Well,
drive. But you're dealing with Chad and everything, and then Rafe is there. Like everything's
let's
falling
talk
together.
about Rafe for a
No,
second,
let's not.
because that has been my gripe.
No.
Like he has been in the hospital for what feels like forever. Now, it might be realistic for him to be in rehab for this long of time, but in a soap world, it seems like 5 years that he's been sitting in that hospital. I liked how it came together when he went to the party and the awkwardness of that. I enjoyed that element, but it's like, come on, let's get Rafe out of the damn hospital already. Because that, every time, like, Days of Our Lives will be speeding along, and all of a sudden, the engine will choke, and that's when Rafe is
Well,
on.
Chrishell Stouse and Lauren Coslow, they saved the day with that because
Well, no, it's the three actors are actually good. I'm
yeah,
enjoying
I'm
their
saying and
dynamic, but for me, it's just because this is taking so long, it really detracts from the other momentum that Days of Our Lives
I
has.
mean, Chrishell's doing the thing there. I did have to joke on Twitter. I'm like, they got you as a frump-a-dump, but your hair is so laid, ma'am. I'm like, her hair is still flawless. I'm like, girl, she's just like, don't hate me because I'm fly, bitches. I love it. I just love it. I mean, I love it. Days, have little bits of things here and there that they can work on, they can tweak, but everything.
And they can still get rid of Daniel.
Everything else, he needs to get a haircut. It's like you've been in Salem for how long now? You're not a surfer, man. I don't know no beaches in Salem. Come on now, son. They just need to get his haircut. He needs to be groomed a bit. But Taze has just been so freaking fantastic. I cannot wait for the whole big Kristen reveal. It's all leading up to this. And now that you got Marlena and Scheming Nicole on your necks, breathing on your necks, they really do need to throw Sammy in the mix because then it would just light some fire in there. I mean, it's really already on fire, but think about it. Two bitches who,
It'd be pouring gasoline on
yes, I
it.
mean, two bitches who cannot stand each other. Mom and daughter are teaming up. They're all teaming up. Enemies all teaming up for one thing, to bust the ultimate enemy, and that is Kristen Blake Demira. Although, I did say the other day, I'm like, where is John? I do kind of miss. I wish they did have
Well,
promos.
Marlena had a scene with Will at the party, I think it was, or before the party, after the party, during the party, somewhere around the party, about how he was choosing to live in Europe and she was going to have to go on with her life. It
I
was like,
kind of
oh,
wish they would
okay.
bring Robo John back because I kind of miss him. I'm like, anybody who can high five somebody after sex is funny as hell. I still remember when he and Marlena all on that couch, all glistening and glowing. And John is like, yeah, outstanding and high five. So I literally fell out of my chair. No bullshit. I just was like, what? And just fell out laughing because that was the best thing ever. But you don't even, back in the day, you would have missed John on there and you would have missed Bo on there and stuff. But the way our days is playing out, you really don't miss them. That's not to say that you don't need to add them back on, but you really don't miss them.
My only, and I agree with you. My only thought about Days of Our Lives is there are a lot of 40-plus single women in Salem.
Yeah.
I mean, at least single, but in the context of we never see their spouses on screen. I mean, Jennifer's technically broken up with Daniel. Hope, I mean, Beau is MIA.
Bo's all across the street. I'm talking about the same patch.
John is in Europe. Old Caroline isn't with Victor or Stefano. I mean,
Oh, why would you want her with Stefano?
I'm just thinking about her age group, who she
No,
could be paired with.
Stefano's he good shoddy.
It just seems like there's some of the older women like romance too, is all I'm saying. We need to
Ain't
get
nobody
something
gonna
to come
have.
in and sweep at least one or two of these women off their feet.
Ain't nobody wants Steph. Stefano say he good, son.
I won't say about Stefano, but I'm saying it'd be nice if we had
You mentioned her and Stefano.
a male character come back to romance, say like Hope or Marlena or, I mean, something for them.
Yeah, Wayne Northrop.
Now,
get rid of Roma. Get rid of Locke. I'm so sick of what's his face. Roman. No, Roman. Roman all Sammy. I'm mad that you married EJ Sammy. I'm like, Roman, shut up. I'm like, EJ got your daughter off in more ways than one. So you should be damn happy. She got her, you know, she's free as a jay, you know, free as a bird. She getting her back cracked. This is the best she's ever gotten. And you tripping. I'm like, whereas you married Kate. Kate who tried to kill your daughter multiple times and take your grandbaby away from you. Like, shut up. Shut up. I just want to open my eyes one day and see Wayne Northrop. Like, shut up.
Mel, do you open up your eyes and wish you could see Steffi on The Bold and the Beautiful?
Every time I turn that show on, I do. Oh, I do. I miss Steffi. This storyline, like, I like the Wyatt, Hope, Liam storyline, and it gets a bit repetitive sometimes, but I still enjoy it. But I feel like I would enjoy it more if Steffi was there. Like, come on. Who wouldn't want to see Steffi team up with Wyatt to wreak havoc all over Los Angeles? I would love to see it. Just Steffi, come back, please. Come back, Steffi. I'm lighting a candle in the window, the whole night. Just come back, Steffi, please.
And the thing about it is that Quinn's involvement in Steffi's reemergence as an issue for Liam and Hope is, I still can't decide what I think of the character, but it's interesting to say the least. Jillian, what are you thinking of the triangle as it is now?
I love the triangle. I know Miss Thang over here, Texas, thinks that it's repetitive. It's like you sit in the corner.
It is.
You two sit in the corner.
I still like it, though.
I love it because it really needs to show Liam, bitch, this is what you did to two sisters, stepsisters, rivals. They hated each other's guts, and you made it even worse. Now you see how it feels. At least the only thing is, Hope admits that she's fanning the flames, but she's not playing with Wyatt's feelings. She's admitted, look, I should not be doing this. I'm leading you on. No, Liam, one day I want a Klondike, one day I want a Nutty Buddy. It's
but
like, shut up, man.
That's what Hope is doing to Wyatt, because
I don't think so.
Oh, that's exactly what she's doing to him. She's as wishy-washy as Liam.
She will have her tongue in Wyatt's mouth today, and tomorrow she will be in Liam's bed.
I don't think so, because she's admitted that she should not be leading Liam on, and that this is not Liam Wyatt on, and this is not right. Whereas Liam today, you know, is like Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, he telling Steffi, I love you, I love you, I love you. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, he telling Hope the same thing. And Sunday, he just resting up because he don't know which one to mess with. It's like, I don't mind it at all, and I don't think that she's leading him on. I think she generally, you know, is trying to be a good person, and she's not trying to break apart two brothers. Like, Liam was just so wishy-washy and such a punk with Steffi and Hope. And it's like, it's good that he's getting his just reward.
I don't mind that he's getting what he dished out. I just feel like we're getting the exact same story that we got with Hope and Steffi and Liam. It's just that it's two guys and a girl this time. I mean, this could be a comedy on ABC, because especially when you have Wyatt talking to the diamond to find out if it's actually, because, oh,
that
maybe
is not
you really
so
are
diamond.
Magical. Maybe you really are. Well, whatever the gem was, the hope for the future diamond or whatever they called it, that he goes, maybe you are magical. I'm like, what is this, passion?
You trying to overtalk me? That's not no Hope Diamond. That is Stephanie's pin that gal wearing around. Stephanie should come out of her sarcophagus and be like, put that down, girl.
All I know is when he started talking to it about its magical properties, all of a sudden I was thinking about Timmy on Passions, and it was like, seriously. Let's talk about the other interesting storyline that's going on Bold and the Beautiful. Bill versus Katie at Spencer.
Love it! This is what it's
yes, I know! It was so good!
They had the board meeting, and he wouldn't even take a seat. He had to come stand behind her. He had to come stand behind her chair and basically make a power, like, move on her in the context of he wasn't going to let her have the floor. Mel, what'd you think?
Oh, it was so good. Oh, I love seeing these two battle for Spencer. Like, Katie is the one in charge, but Bill can't handle it. So, you know, he has to stand behind a chair. And you can just see him seething. And it's so amazing. Oh, God, it was so good. And I love hearing Bill talk about it after. He was like, it's not the stuff I would have done, but, you know, I guess I'm not in charge now, blah, blah, blah. He's just bitter, bitter, bitter. And I
bitter Bill.
Yeah, it's bitter, like, Bill. Oh, it's fantastic.
I love it. You know, y'all know I've been screaming this from the rafters. Make her a strong bitch. Make her get Spencer Publications. And they listened. Oh, thank you. Hallelujah. I love it. I love it because it's like, Bill, you, instead of thinking with the head on your shoulders, you decided to hunch her sister. And now look at you. You asked out. You're asked out of your marriage. Your son, your long lost son, who is the spitting, who is the chip off the old block like you.
Yeah.
The same manly man, meat and potatoes man, can't stand you. Your wife limits, well, your ex-wife limits how you can see your son. And she's got your company. And your board members are like, she's making sense. You are spending money frivolously, fool. We need to save money. And she is like, ta-da, how you like me now? And he's all, you couldn't do this, that. You are, like, Bill is really underestimating Katie. I think the best thing that happened to Katie is Brooke sleeping with her husband, because it's just lit a fire in her. And I think somewhere down the line, Bill is going to have to take a step back and look and be like, damn, I really underestimated this chick. While I was too busy acting like Peter Pan with my little Vienna sausage sword wrapped around my neck. God, I hate that sword. I want to just break it. I think that thing is so stupid.
Throw it in a fire. Just
burn it. Just pick my teeth with it. Ugh. But anyways, like, Bill is going to have to sit back and just be like, damn, I really shouldn't have underestimated her. You know, I always thought poor heart, you know, kind-hearted, weak-hearted Katie. I can't sneeze around her. She'll go kaboom. Katie is like, don't call, you know, don't count me out, bitches. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Justin is all, I thought we supposed to be waiting for Bill. She's like, no, we don't put my way. And what? I love it. Love it. I do think somewhere down the line, I think, you know, they don't quite need Ridge just yet, but they are starting to get to that level where another man needs to be tossed in the mix to make Bill be like, maybe I shouldn't, you know, maybe, you know, Brooke can put it down, but I still want Katie back because of this fire and this venom in her. And I, you know, and who is this man pushing up on her? And for Brooke to be like, wait a minute, like, they really need to make it a serious triangle now.
Well, and the other side benefit out of the whole deal that I sort of liked was the fact that Brooke is being sidelined at Forrester. She basically had to, like, stay out of the picture during the last show. It was like,
see what, so when you hot in the ass, Brooke, you get pulled to the side. They are like, you have to be put in the corner, ma'am. And this, you know, this is par for the course for Brooke, but you know, for Eric is going to have to pull out of the corner and bring her up to bat again, coach, because Brooke always saves the day over there. But this is just it's good because they're making it sort of like a Romeo, like a man and a woman of a certain age type of Romeo and Juliet storyline. This family does not approve. The other family does not approve. They are fighting against all odds. I like it. I dig it. They are starting to come to that point where they're going to have to put another man in there, i.e. Ridge, but they're not quite there yet. Because Katie is still bitter and she's still mad as hell. But I think this is the way Brad's playing it out. We'll eventually get that. I'm still hoping that it is Robert Kelka because...
Yes, please!
Lord, that would be fire. It's too damn bad that they had... what's your boy name from As the World Turns? What's his name? Holden.
Oh, yes.
They had him as Dr. Nobody. I'm like,
he would make a good Ridge. Really? And I've seen him in photos with scarves, I'm pretty sure.
That would be my mandate. Don't you bring no scarf back.
Mel. Mm-hmm. Finola Hughes, Anna Devane.
Oh my God.
Ulbrich and a doppelganger was maybe the best thing about soaps this last week. What did you think?
Let me tell y'all right now. Finola to the Hughes is the truth. That woman is everything in life. She is amazing. Anna, I don't even, she's so amazing. I don't have words for it. Just the fact that, you know, before we saw Anna talking to Robin, Robert is trying to get Anna to believe that he saw Robin. And she's like, no, there's no way you saw her. I don't believe you. But then Robert kept egging on, you know, kept trying to, I saw. So she had to go over to Switzerland and go talk to Faison. Well, come to find out, Dr. Ulbrich then already talked to Faison, and they got me too. Ron, Frank, y'all got me, because I really did think that was Anna talking to Faison at first. And then he kissed her, and I was
freaking
out. When
he kissed her, that's when I knew this ain't, because I don't get any GH spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I didn't see none, but when he kissed her, I was like, this ain't Anna, because Anna, I'm like,
it's no way.
No, because I even know
like that much.
I know that Anna, even though Anna, you know, Anna loves Robin to death. I know Anna will do anything for Robin. I don't think she will do that. She'll be like, I'm good, Shawty. Robin just gonna have to send an SOS or something out because I ain't doing that. But I knew that wasn't her. When she ripped that face off, I was like, oh Lord. I was like, oh Lord, Rhonda ripped off her face again, child.
They got me on that one because I was screaming at the TV. I'm like, it's poison in his lips, Anna, run! And then, you know, she ripped out the mask and it was Dr. Ulbrich. Oh, that was so good. So then Anna is trying to get inside the room, talk to Faison and Dr. Ulbrich, and she put the mask back on to come outside the room, and Anna is facing her doppelgangers. And I was like, ooh, this is soapy, soapy, soapy. I don't even think there's a word for it, but you know what? I love it. I loved every part of it. Anna fighting.
Best cat fight of 2013.
Anna fighting her doppelganger and winning.
Yeah,
I think that was one of, but I don't know about that.
And then we got that gangster line, justice is served, bitch. I said, you better go head on, Anna.
You know, I was waiting. Y'all know I've been screaming, and I'm like, if Ron to the Calavati don't have Anna whoop her ass, it's going to be hell to pay. And I'm glad he was just like, bitch, wait and see, because it was fantastic. I was like, Anna, bust her in the throat. Did not like her getting a reach on my Anna when she pistol whipped her and ran off. I was so mad. I was like, God damn it. I was like, ah. But I loved it. Loved Anna busting her in the throat. I can't wait for Robin to come home to punch her daughter in the throat.
Let's talk about your favorite character. What did you think when she called Patrick? And then Patrick's reaction, it was like devastating for him.
Yes, and I was like, Sabrina, shut up. Now, I like you, Sabrina, but you shut your ass up now. I was so mad when she was like, you just wish it's her, but you need to move on. I'm like, girl, shut up. Shut up. I want Emma to burn your hair off. Shut up.
No.
Don't you say, I'm like, Robin coming there, she gonna get, she gonna play salt and pepper and be like, bitch, I'm taking my man back. What? Oh, she made me so mad with that, but it was so devastating. But I knew that was classic, though, because she really did think that Robin was going to hear from, Patrick was going to hear from Robin, and he was going to be like, ring the alarm, I got to go get my woman, and be like, bye, Sabrina, the teenage witch, and go. But, you know, when he was just like, it was her, and he was like, she's like, no, it's not, and then talked him out of it. I'm like, damn. Oh, it was heartbreaking, but it just makes the drama all the better for when Patrick and Robin finally see each other, because I didn't want them to like reunite over the phone, because I would have tore Ron a new one. I'd have been like, really? You got them reuniting over a phone?
Well, and here's you learn something watching soaps. I never knew that if you went and like rubbed a battery that much, you could get a little bit of a
You didn't know that
thing out of it
because it's static.
Doctor
so
Wizard,
that's the way you.
You are the
no. I listen. I always keep my cell phones charged. I barely run, very rarely, if ever, run out of a battery.
Where you been? Oh, I don't run out of them, but I've seen, you know, when they talk about if you're in dire situations, that's how you do it.
Yep.
You basically just sit there and get, if you take a day, you might get a full charge. Is that it?
I never said that, but I just.
No, I'm just putting.
I wonder. I don't know. You go make your phone die and then you drive. Tell me how it is. But I've seen that, you know, they've always said if your phone is in water, gets wet, put it in like rice or get a blow dryer.
It'll dry it out.
don't know, an iPhone will work, but I tried it on an Android. My sister's phone ended up getting thrown in the toilet by mistake by one of her kids, and I, was Mrs. MacGyver and busted out my hairdryer and was like, doo, 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 here, the phone's working. But, I like it. I don't mind it. It shows that Robin's into her inner Scorpio. I've been crowing about that too. She's into her inner Scorpio's vein. When she comes to town, I want her to channel that and bust the shit out of Brick. I want her to bust her head open to what? To what Bernie Mac used to say? To the white meat show. I want her to just punch her in her throat. Oh, I can't stand that bread.
Mel, what did you think of Robin and Patrick?
Y'all know that's not my favorite couple, and
I know,
it's
this is why I was curious.
I didn't like them for
Who?
the majority of Robin and Patrick. I was like, I don't get it. I don't understand the appeal.
Oh, stop.
This
Wait a minute, bitch.
what? I don't care.
No.
Not feeling them, but this go around, I'm like, okay, this kind of is sweet that she was so desperate to talk to him and say, "Come save me, it's me, I'm alive." And Jason Thompson's performance is really what got me in it, because the look on his face when he heard that Patrick is Robin on the phone, I was like, oh, you getting me right here in my heart, you getting me. He was good, and just to see that frantic look on his face, like, I gotta get to her, I gotta save her, she alive, oh my God, I don't know what to do. That was good. And even at this point, I was like, Sabrina, you better get on and go somewhere and find Puss in Boots, and y'all can go back to Puerto Rico, because I don't have time for this shit, darling.
Okay.
You
Oh, she needs to be off this show so badly.
go on and give Patrick back to Robin. Go ahead, let him find her, because I can't anymore. I'm done.
Oh man, I mean, oh, it's just too bad Robin wasn't with Jason Morgan. Then we would have had a party up in that bitch. But no, he all over him. Genoa City killing Romeo and shit. So.
Well, let's talk a little bit about someone else who escaped death on Days of Our or Days of Our Lives, General Hospital. What did you think of Luke and Tracy, Jillian?
Oh, y'all know I love my girl Tracy. When she popped Jerry in the shoulder, and he was like, "The hell?" She was like, "I was aiming for somebody else." I'm like, "All right now, Tracy Q, don't mess with my Tracy Angelica Quarterman child. She don't play." I loved it. For someone, if you know the history of Tracy Quartermain, for Tracy Quartermain to do this for a man, you know she has evolved, honey, because Tracy wouldn't do that. Tracy'd be like, "Luke, you better drink some NyQuil and call it a day, child, because I ain't fitting to do all this for you." I love it to bits. I thought it was great. Jade Elliott, you get to see more of her comedic timing and more of her sass and her panache. Like, I always tell people all the time, these young chicks and these young dudes, even, y'all need to just sit in front of your televisions and just watch
Exactly.
Jane Elliott go to work. Because even when it's something as campy and, a funny scene or, a spoofy scene like that, Jane Elliott still brings the heat. So I just love it to bits. You know, I like when my girl Tracy is on, despite what these people, a year or some change later, it's Rover run by One Life to Live people. I'm like, yes, Tracy used to be on One Life to Live. I'm like, God, give me a break. I'm like, it's Vet City around here. I'm like, good Lord, it's overrun with vets.
Mel, I was glad they didn't kill off Jerry, because if they killed off Jerry and Helena in the same year, I would be
You
pissed.
need to
You know they are not gonna kill off no Jerry Jacks. That is not going to happen, okay? Jerry Jacks is like roaches and alligators. They will always be around, okay? I'm not worried about
Well,
it.
I'll take your reassurance to heart. Let's talk a little bit about Diane, Franco, Carly, Derek slash Julian. And Carly, or not Carly, Alexis. What did you guys think of Franco and Diane?
Exactly, that's what we thought of it.
Okay, I mean, what did you think of Carly and Derek?
That whole little scene in there where they're at the Metro Court or wherever trying to make each other jealous is a classic soap trope, you know. Oh, I got to be with this person I don't want to be with to make the other person jealous. And I know I'm not supposed to be with them, blah, blah, blah. Their chemistry is hot. We know it. Honestly, I can get behind this story because most of the time, William DeVry and Roger Haworth have their shirts off. So...
And they figured out another way to do it. This, like, we're recording this on a Tuesday night, and on Tuesday's episode, they had them both shirtless in a ring. It was like, apparently, the wardrobe department for Julian is not that expensive because they keep him shirtless 89% of the time.
I don't have a lick of a problem with that.
Okay.
I'm perfectly fine with
See who the showrunner is, right? Y'all forget who the showrunner is, right? Do y'all need a refresher? That's Frank Valentini's house now. Like, look, people joke about, oh, shirtless man, that's Frank. It's a soap opera. That's what I like about Frank being there. You know, I criticize, I will bitch and complain and kvetch, but I will also give props when props is due. And Frank is letting y'all know, look, this is a soap. Don't think because it's wintertime or poor Charles is supposed to be on the East Coast and it's wintertime, y'all, so, or fall, y'all supposed to be covered up. Y'all gonna show some skin, so y'all better hit the GYM real quick, because one of y'all gonna be shirtless. I like that. It's a soap. It's supposed to have romance in the end, sexiness, so I ain't mad at that. Not mad at that at all. I need to see some more skin.
Okay.
Do you guys want to see more of, I was going to say John McBain's, Silas's skin?
Hell yeah.
Ooh, yes.
Oh, that luscious hair flowing. Oh, yes. Oh, auntie.
Ooh, him and Sam were sexy, sexy.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, they had lost it, but when they was on the floor talking about, ooh, let's go get it in up on the sofa, I was like, whoo.
And they made doing laundry dirty.
I'm fine with that because they were sexy. I need to see some.
I will admit, they had a lot of chemistry this last week. Oh. I mean, I've been a holdout in terms of them getting back together, but boy, oh boy. This last week, they were pretty darn hot.
I feel like Michael Easton is starting to play Silas more like John McBain again, which is fine with me because that's the way I like him. So it felt kind of like John McBain and Sam again. And I was like, oh, this is absolutely okay with me because they were hot, hot, hot.
You know what pisses me off, though? It's like with this whole Prospect Park lawsuit, you know, we said y'all better do One Life to Live. And then when y'all gonna come out the mouth, well, we're shelving it. It's not canceled. It's shelved. It's shelved. I know what shelved means in this game. Don't play me. Play Lotto Booze. That just makes me so mad because John McBain had chemistry with freaking everyone on that show. And we know John McBain is a character. But whatever. You don't have Silas in Anna's orbit any. As you don't have Easton in Fionnuala Hughes' orbit, and Fionnuala Hughes and Michael Easton had chemistry. I
they
was
were
like,
hot too. Yeah.
They were platonic. They were mentor mentee, and you were just like, you know, you're like, I'm supposed to root for John and Sam, but John and Anna. Ooh, it's like, you know, wait a minute now. You know, it was just fire, and it just makes me so damn mad to hear them, well, we can't do the show because of the it's like, shut up, man. I just want to chuck a rock at you for saying that, man. Got my hopes up, and for what? You didn't even use John McBain at all. You just used Easton's picture. I'm so pissed at that, and they didn't even mention Star at all. Like, really? Come on now. But I digress. But Michael Easton and Kelly Monaco, I guess they were like, if you don't succeed, try again. And I guess they had to use that slow build, and they were fabulous. I mean, with that laundry and stuff, I was like, ooh, I want to do some laundry with somebody.
Right?
Like, ooh, I want to do some laundry bad, and I hate doing laundry. Oh, I was like, God. I was like, hey, come over here and do some laundry with me, Silas, with that flowing, silky Pantene hair of his.
I just want to run my fingers through his hair. Just
you know, that got on my nerves when Frank had him pulling that back. I was like, no. I was like, Frank, you need to be spanked, and not in a freaky, sneaky way, neither. I was so upset.
Unacceptable.
No, it was not. I was not amused, as Jordan Hudson would say. I was not amused.
Well, one thing I'm not amused about is them killing off Delia on The Young and the Restless. I put on Twitter that Billy Miller is the saving grace of the story.
Yes, Hendrickson too.
I haven't got that far to see her reaction yet, so I can only say what I have watched. But the story is absolutely terrible. But Billy Miller's performance, if we were doing a performer of the week this week, I'd probably give it to either him or Finola Hughes because they were both that good. But the story is just terrible. The fact that they are using, the Abbotts have become a used parts store for the freaking Newmans.
I wasn't giving Adam nothing. And I had to tell him, look, you better teach your son Braille. Get out of my face. You better get out of here. I'm going to speak of the positives here. Yes, I can do that about Y&R. The positives. Billy Miller's performance was off the charts. It made you feel like it just made him even more mad that they killed Delia off. For what? For what? Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Hendrickson. Woo, baby! Lizzie is like, look, I ain't no shrinking violet in this sucker now. Like, she was magnificent when she ripped into Billy and was like, this is your fault! You killed Delia! I was like,
You never wanted Delia in the first place. Ooh, Lord.
I was like, you bitch, you tried to trap him with her. So you forgetting, but they were so fantastic. Kevin. No, not my Delia. What are you talking about? I'm like, ain't nobody else in Genoa City got that ugly name. I always hated that name, Cordelia. Punch Kane in this storm. Ooh, I was glad they shortened it to Delia, but when he was like, not my Delia, I'm like, Greg Rickhardt was amazing. Missy Claire Egan, it wasn't even her child. Some people would be caught up in their own drama and be like, oh, I'm sorry for Chloe, but my baby's blind, so whatever. She felt it for her friend.
Yeah, she played the good best friend.
Muni, he's sitting there drinking. I don't know what that was. They were trying to pass it off us, but he's just like, oh, shit, I done ran her down on Old Decatur Road. Damn, I ran Delia down. It was brilliant. The flash, the scenes that Billy had when he was thinking about all the things that he and Delia need to do in life and possibly won't get to do. Those were good scenes that they shot. Now,
and what did you think of those, Mel? Because I enjoyed some of them. The problem when you do those scenes and you jump that far into the future is when you have Billy Miller and he doesn't really age and they don't do a lot to make him age. It took me out of a little bit of it.
Billy Miller don't crack, so I don't understand. Okay, not the point. Those scenes, I didn't have a problem with them. I thought they were actually very sweet. It's a cute daddy. It's a cute daddy daughter relationship that you could see definitely see Billy and Delia having. My problem with those scenes was, where in the hell were Chloe? Was Chloe in all those scenes?
Yes.
You want to tell me that that Delia is getting married and Chloe is not there and she graduated from high school and Chloe not there, but old Victoria is. Now somebody explain that.
Delia had a baby, but she's not there.
Victoria in the room holding the baby. Oh, they can tell you anything. Blah, blah, blah. Victoria, you can get on and get gone somewhere.
And she's calling Victor grandpa. I'm like, you ain't know none of Victor. But see, this in all those scenes, Delia gets mowed down like a stray blade of grass, as Jamie likes to say. But what's in them scenes in the forefront? That damn restaurant on the boulevard. I'm like, ugh. Here's the bad part that I had a problem with. If you're spoiler free, Jill pretty much told you what's going to happen. And when I say that, I mean Billy is waiting there while his daughter is dying and he's having these shoulda, coulda, woulda moments. If you didn't know what's going to happen, why are you having that there? You should have had that in the hospital. You should have had that when you found out that Delia died on the way to the, even on the way to the hospital. Fine. But it was just like, really, girl? I did not like that at all. It was just poorly executed with that. The only saving grace was Billy, Lizzie, and Greg Rickhardt. Amelia, I was like, girl, bye.
Had her in the background, too, and she just had that look on her face. That's silly.
Goofy girl. That's your stepdaughter, and I'm like, Chelsea, I'm like, Missy Claire had more emotions, and that's her best friends. She barely know Chloe like that. Like, Cheese has more emotions. Adam gonna give two shits about Delia, but Muni displayed the emotions. I'll give him all that. Honey, I'm like, girl, this was your moment to be batter up, and you just struck out, honey. It was not cute at all. I mean, everybody was just all, oh, you know, the Abbott scene is for an emotional, effect. I'm like, if you want something real emotional, why didn't you kill off Kane and Lily's kid, Salt and Pepper, or whatever Jamie is calling them, Winnie and Nelson.
Winnie and Nelson.
Of a salt and pepper, you know, vanilla and chocolate. Why didn't you kill them off? That would have been an impact, but this was just all for what? This was pointless. It should have been Johnny. That would have been something. And it's like another Abbott is mowed down, is killed by a Newman. But I started to sit and think today. I said, what if this is a red herring? And when I say that, I mean, what if Nikki is the one that did it? I mean, you know, they made a point of showing Nikki driving down the highway when Adam, around the same time as Adam. But, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, well, Delia's cloak or whatever was caught up on the bumper and he cracked his bump. I'm like, he could have hit that stupid dog. I'm like, maybe the piece of cloth, you know, with the wind.
See, if they do that, then they really are knocking off her.
It is a straight up rip-off of General Hospital. You're going to have the step-grandpan run over the step-grandbaby, just like Luke ran over Jake. It's the same damn story. All they did was sit there and erase names on the script and add names from the Young and the Restless. It's the same doggone story.
It would be the epitome of an example of the lack of creativity that she has.
How you plagiarize yourself? Really?
I know.
Goose
right?
should be like, I'm coming for my coins. I need my coins there, chill. Because this is technically the same storyline. Only thing is, we think it's Adam. Didn't we think on GH, who do we think mowed Jake down for the longest? Who do we think? But then we realize it was Luke. I can't remember who. Shit. I think we thought it was Dante. I think we wanted to say we thought it was Dante. I'm not too sure. I don't know.
It's been a while.
Yeah. I don't know. But, I wonder if it is Adam because, you know, Adam is the obvious choice, the cracked light, the cloth on the car and everything and whatnot.
See, and that's part of the problem with The Young and the Restless. The Young and the Restless, like, if you compare The Young and the Restless to General Hospital, General Hospital pulls off these doppelganger things that you don't necessarily see coming, where you have Ober kissing Faison, and then you have a doppelganger cat fight. Those are all good surprises. You look at what's going on The Young and the Restless. Jill is basically plagiarizing her own shows. If for example, I mean, it would be actually shocking if Nikki were the driver, even though she was plagiarizing her own show. It would be shocking because they're making it look like Adam. But at the same time, it would actually be more shocking if Dildum is not Nikki's son, and it's Stitch.
Give up that pipe dream. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not.
Because
but what I'm Nikki saying
said,
is, what I'm
Nikki said when she was talking to what's that little boy, Johnny.
I know, but what I'm saying is, if The Young and the Restless was on a creative role, they would be allowing us, or they would be writing it in such a way that we would have bigger questions in our minds as to what is going on. I mean, if they were writing this story with Dylan and Nikki, where Stitch was a very active red herring that 50% of the people believed he was like possibly her son, that would be way more interesting than a foregone conclusion. And then you have Victor come in and basically christen the thing complete by like getting mad at him. I mean, there's nothing.
I think it's
creative about The Young and the Restless.
I think the reason why I wouldn't mind it being Nikki, and this is why, they kept stressing that day that she was all upset and everything and driving and, you know, before she drove off and so forth and walking in the park and shit. They kept stressing to her, you need to calm down because stress is going to aggravate your condition. The doctor said you need to take it easy. Stress is going to aggravate your condition. If they kept saying, they kept saying that, you know how that is in soaps. Dum-dum-dum, doom-darling, she about to have the shake, you know. I'm thinking, she's driving and she's also, Victor acting like Victor, what you do to my woman? And she's all, Victor, and goes off in a huff. if, you know, she happens to be driving and one of her episodes happen, this would play back into that whole, what's her name now? What that gal name is that Phyllis had? Summer mowing down Adam and Chelsea's little spawn. That storyline that I wanted, where Nikki was the one that killed Adam and Chelsea's baby, that would be play off really well. The only difference is I would like it to be a situation where I would have liked it to be where people thought Nikki was drunk again. And, you know, you get the whole, this is what happens with MS and bloogity bloogity blue. And, you know, she was thinking about drinking, but she wasn't. And it spilled on her. And Adam finds out that it's her. And, you know, Adam decides, what should I do with this? Should I keep it to myself? Or should I come in and swoop in like Captain Save-A-Ho and clear Nikki's name? You know what I mean? I would have liked that. That way, you could have gotten a real telling of MS. Like, you know, Nikki sitting down talking to her doctor, and her doctor is like, I told you, you need to keep yourself stress-free because with MS, and you rattle off the statistics and the what happens and this, that, and the third, and who shot JR and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. We would have gotten that. You would have gotten your social message out there. Kaboom. Bada boom, bada bing. You would have had a great storyline to me. But this whole Adam thing, the reason why people, you know, the reason why people are going to be mad at Adam, and I said, and rightly so, you know, someone tried to come for me, and, you know, I sent them back with shipping and handling, child. I think the reason why people are going to be mad at Adam with this is because, number one, even though it was an accident, y'all know it was an accident. Did nobody mean to run a little baby girl down? Adam stopped. He did stop. I didn't think he stopped, but I went back and watched. So,
yeah, he
yes.
stopped.
Yes, he stopped. He stopped. He saw it was a little dog and drove off. Adam really didn't get out the car to check to see if he hit anything, to see anything else. He just saw the dog run away. He didn't get out to see nothing else. He just, you know, did that. After he heard that Delia got mowed down on Old Decatur Road, he does not say anything. He keeps quiet. And it's, you know, from what I hear from Wednesday's episode that aired in Canada, which is their Tuesdays, I hear he's hiding the claw. So it's like you're acting like a guilty party when this was an accident. And then you have the whole, I'll do anything that it takes to make my son see again. It's like, you putting yourself in that old, in that corner, bruh. So, but whatever.
Well, final thoughts. Mel, what was the highlight or low point for you this last week?
Highlight, I'm going to have to go with Billy Miller and his incredible performance on The Young and the Restless. The only thing that kept me watching this show this week was Billy Miller's performance. And a close second has to be Miss Liz Hendrickson, who absolutely killed it. I hate that they had to kill the baby. You know, I said on Twitter earlier that this was an unnecessary death for drama, in quotation marks, because anybody can write a fallout from a child dying. But it takes a lot more effort and intrigue and creativeness to write a story that doesn't involve killing people with cause. Jill Farron Phelps. I'm just saying, that seems to be a...
New York. I ain't putting people down.
Somebody with a car, Maureen Bauer.
Here we go again. Lord, Jill, see what you've done here.
You knew we was not going to get through this podcast without me bringing up that hella killing my Maureen Bauer all kind of light.
Well, and just to make sure we have our Jill Farron Phelps killer thing basis covered, Frankie Frame. Jillian, what are your final thoughts?
Didn't she?
What? What'd you say? What'd you say, Mel?
Didn't she kill Frankie Frame with a car accident or not?
Yes!
I was just meaning her responsible for her death.
Got this. Frankie Frame got killed, as much as Jamie likes to say, and I had to go back and I went and watched the child, because Lord Jesus. Frankie Frame got killed. Somebody choked her down in the park by a day player. They choked her for 3 days. I was like, bitch, you ain't gonna die. And Frankie ain't no big girl where you would think, okay, she a big girl. She got a big back and a big neck, so it's gonna take her 3 days. But Frankie was a little, you know, it was a petite thing. I'm like, damn, choke her down for 3 days. Eyes bugged out. Really? Focus.
When JFP kills you off, she really snuffs you out.
Yeah, that's true.
Now I'm like, Melody, you better watch your mouth, girl. My final thought is Days of Our Lives, honey. They have everything. They have romance. They have adventure. They have mystery. They have intrigue. They have everything, and I love it. You know, we used to be hard on Ken and them for the longest, but you know it's good soap. You know you're in a good soap world when it is your Bold and the Beautiful is on, and Days happens to be on, depending on where you live at. They on at the same time, and you're switching back and forth, like, shit, what's happening over here? Shit, what's happening over here? Shit, what's happening over here? GH, you know, GH by itself, by his lonesome, depending on where you are, so you can enjoy it. And then you got to watch Y&R. I mean,
which is like a monumental
really
task to get through.
My liver has been complaining because I got a drink when I watch that joint.
Watching Y&R is quite like it's a task, and it's painful.
I'm just hoping with this new regime, I'm hearing that Y&R is dark right about now. They're giving the writers time to catch up and write. I hear that Shelley has already written her stuff, so we should soon see Shelley Altman stuff, although, you know, she's been around, but we'll start to see her solo act. And then, you know, the dark period, I'm hearing Jean Pastor Salame. I'm sorry, Pastor, what's your name now?
Pastor Nante.
Don't even remember her real name. Sorry. I give you a nickname. It sticks.
I got you, Jean.
Okay. After the break, like during the break, Jean is writing her stuff. And after the break, she's writing her stuff. So real soon, we'll see Jean's stuff too. And I hope and pray, girl, for you. I hope and pray. You know, Jamie's like, well, she wrote with One Life and she wrote a GH. She had somebody telling her, now. So I'm just hoping and praying we don't get any hooky booky stuff. We don't see a bunch of new families rolling into town, the McAvoys or the macadamia nuts rolling into town. It's going to be Dylan's family. They say we're going to see romance. We bet to. I mean.
And romance. Okay. And I hate to say this, but romance as defined by The Young and the Restless should be more than Cain and Lily. Because that's about the extent of it for the most part.
Oh, they got Tyler with old boring Abby, so.
I know! Well, I don't.
Well, Ed, we have to wrap on that note. Old boring Abby. Old boring Abby is quite the way to go out on a podcast.
Well, here's hoping that Jean brings Tyler back into Lily's orbit, because that was
sexy.
Hot.
Do something with Noah.
Yeah! Get him with that no-name girl. Oh, my God!
What they should really do is go there with Noah the way we hope they would when they recast him. On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Add us as a friend on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Ran down on old Decatur Road. Sorry, Delia.